But we're not concerned with all that. That's not our theme tonight. We're concerned with these two figures. We're concerned with the figures of Manjushri and Vimalakirti. Concerned just with the figures themselves. We're concerned with them as I saw them, facing each other, confronting each other in the ancient Chinese mural in 1957. We're concerned with them as representing history versus myth in man's quest for meaning. Now, at this point, surely various questions present themselves. In what sense do we speak of man's quest for meaning? What is the meaning of meaning, anyway? As some modern scholars, critics, philosophers have asked. What do we mean by history? That's not altogether self-evident. There are quite a number of books, I believe, entitled What is History? And what do we mean by myth? And in what way do Vimalakirti and Manjushri represent them? Represent history, represent myth? And in what way are they in opposition to each other? So we'll be trying to answer these questions. But we're not going to be answering them very systematically, perhaps not very directly even. In any case, the answers are to be sought and hopefully found in the painting, in the mural itself. Found, that is to say, in visual terms. Found in imaginative terms. And what I'm going to say is, in a sense, a bringing out of the implications, or some of the implications, of that mural painting. So let's start with the figure of Vimalakirti. First of all, of course, he's an old man. He has this long, white, wispy beard. I believe he's even got long, white, wispy eyebrows. And he's got a puckered, wrinkled, but cheerful and humorous old face. In other words, old Vimalakirti is subject to the process of time, as we all are, even though we might not be white-haired and wrinkled, with or without the wispy beard, yet. Not only that, not only is Vimalakirti subject to time, he lives at a particular point in time. He lives in the days of the Buddha, and according to modern scientific scholarship, that is in the 6th century BCE. He's also subject to space. He lives in a particular part of the world. He lives in Jambudvipa, in India, as we would say. He lives in the great mercantile city of Vaishali. Lives in a particular part of the city, lives in a particular house. Even though at the beginning of chapter 5, he makes it disappear. He has a particular personal identity. He's known by a particular name, the name of Vimalakirti, which is, I think I said, if not in the previous talk, in the one before, means immaculate or stainless, glory or fame. He belongs to a particular social group. He follows a particular occupation. He's engaged, apparently, in some sort of business. And he has, or appears to have, a wife and children. Vimalakirti thus has an historical existence. He's a historical personality. He has an existence which is specific, concrete, contingent, and determinate. He has an existence which is determined by time, space, and causality. Vimalakirti therefore represents history, represents the historical reality. Now, when I say that Vimalakirti has an historical existence, that he's an historical personality, I don't necessarily mean that he actually existed. Modern Western scholars, in fact, dispute this. What I mean is that Vimalakirti is depicted in the Vimalakirti Nirdesha as an historical personality. So that's what he represents. But what about the figure of Manjushri? It's time we passed on to him. To begin with, he's a young man. In fact, he's eternally young. That is to say, he's not subject to the process of time. Not subject to time itself at all. Not only that, he doesn't live at any particular point in time, though he can appear at any time. In the same way, he's not subject to space. He doesn't live in any particular part of the world. He can appear in any part of the world, appear in any place. The Chinese Buddhists did try to tie him down, as it were, to Mount Wu Tai, one of the five sacred mountains of Buddhist China, but they weren't very successful. Moreover, while Manjushri has a particular personal identity, it's not a mundane identity. His name is a no name. He doesn't belong to any particular group. He doesn't follow any particular occupation. He just does whatever is necessary to help living beings develop as occasion arises. And he certainly doesn't have a wife and children, not even in appearance. Manjushri thus has no historical existence. He's not an historical personality. He has an existence, in a manner of speaking, which is specific and concrete, but which is non-contingent and non-determinate. He has an existence, again, so to speak, which is not determined by time, space, and causality. He has what may be called a transcendental existence. Or he has what may be called a glorified individuality. And this fact is indicated by the fact that he's not only young, but extremely beautiful. That he's clad in all manner of silks and jewels, and that his entire body is surrounded by an aura of brilliant golden light. Manjushri therefore represents the supra-historical reality. He represents archetypal reality, spiritual reality. He represents myth. Now, we're using the word myth rather loosely here, not using it in its literal sense. In fact, it hasn't got a literal sense. The realm of myth is not a realm of clearly defined meanings. That's the whole point about it. The realm of myth is a realm of undefined meanings. Indeed, it's a realm of indefinable meanings. Nowadays, a whole industry has been set up apparently to explain the meaning of all sorts of ancient myths. But these meanings, inverted commas, of ancient myths cannot really be explained in this sort of way. They can't in fact be understood in the conceptual sense at all. The meaning, so to speak, of myth, of myths, has to be felt, has to be experienced, has to be enacted, has to be lived. There are various other things that belong to this realm of undefined meanings. Things such as symbols, archetypal images, the imagination itself, poetry, as well as myth. In fact, I'm using the word myth to cover, to suggest, to indicate, to hint at all these things. The word myth, in fact, stands for, represents the whole realm of undefined meanings. And this realm I've indicated by one particular form, one particular expression of undefined meaning, that is to say, myth. So here we are with these two figures, the figure of Vimalakirti and the figure of Manjushri, the one representing history, the other representing myth. We have them confronting each other, as in the mural. We have history versus myth in Man's Quest for Meaning.